Hey everyone, this is Adam. I just wanted to real quick get a couple announcements out of the way. Starting off, I wanted to remind everyone that on our Dork Day Extras feed, we are currently doing a run through of the Stockholm Cartel game Cyborg. So if you're interested in listening to that, you can find it on there. Also, there is a interview with Christian Salian and Johan Noor on there, the creators of Cyborg. So you can find all of that on our Dork Day Extras feed. So if you would, subscribe to that, listen to those things over there. We also have a run through of Delta Green over there. And we have an interview with Chris McDowell, the creator of Into the Odds. So if you're interested, all of that stuff is on that feed. That's kind of where we're going to be putting a lot of our playthroughs of other games, if you're interested in listening to those. For our patrons, we've been actually doing early releases of the Cyborg games, and we're planning on doing that going forward. Along those lines, I wanted to say thank you to our patrons who were there for our live Q&A video that we did on the 8th. It was great. We had a good time. We'll probably be posting the video from that in the near future. So if you want to watch that, you can find that on our YouTube. Last but not least, I wanted to say thank you to Willow from the RPG Goblin. Recently, I did an interview with her. We were talking about the game Twilight 2000, kind of the setting and the rules and just the different ways in which you can play the game. Is really fun. We had a really good time. So if you're interested in listening to that interview, it's coming out this Friday on the 21st of July. So if you would, look her up, the RPG Goblin. It's a really great podcast. She covers a bunch of other games and talks to people who play those games, talking about those games that they play and that they love. So she had reached out to me about Twilight 2000 because we're running it for our podcast, and we had a great time, and it was nice to just kind of explain to somebody else what it is that I love about this game. So, without further ado, episode 55 of Two Past Midnight. Previously on Two Past Midnight.
I believe we are running low on food.
Murph picks his head up, and he's like, I'll go do some hunting if somebody wants to come with me.
Yeah, and you can tell from the tracks that it's a boar.
I guess meat's back on the menu, Gordo.
As soon as you come around the curve, the whole road is blocked off by piles of sandbags.
Emmett will turn and kind of kick Gordo and Murph.
How much fuel you got in that?
How much do you need?
50 liters.
Have you guys seen anything up farther down the road? Is it clear down that way, or?
He kind of smiles and says, as clear as anywhere else. So I have a modification on the challenge coin rules, by the way, guys.
Aw, damn it.
All right.
Yeah, we're fucked.
No,
yeah,
no,
it's not
going
to work out for the better for us, I'm sure.
No. It's
could
not
it have kept me alive.
It's not a we're fucked. It's not. It might have. I don't know.
If you run out of rations, you can eat your challenge coin.
So here's the idea. The basic idea is, so on top of them being awarded for like really good role play or like, you know, all the really cool things when things have come up, I've been like, fucking everybody's getting a challenge coin for this app. That was fucking amazing. You know what I mean? Like just random ones in addition to the participated for the session, you know, my plan is now to institute what we're going to call a cheese dick tax.
See, I told you it wasn't going to be any good for us.
Charlie Delta tax.
Charlie Delta tax.
You get one for every character death.
No. This is what the cheese dick tax is. If you do something or want to do something that's like power gamey and that normally I might say no to, like, for example, using your scope to get a bonus on recon as an example, I might be like, sure, but it's going to cost you X amount of challenge coins.
Okay.
Or conversely, if it's a weird, like, power gamey rule thing, which is how it came up, Brian.
So let's say we wanted to modify a shotgun to use one-handed so we could get
that
around.
That would be a challenge coin, precisely. That would be a challenge coin tax on that. Yep. That's a great example.
On that, I didn't want to be like, teacher, but you never rolled a tech roll to actually do that. I just didn't worry about it. Yeah. I was like, this is not my problem.
So Yeah, it's sawing it off. You literally... Shh, 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 shh. That should have been a stamina roll more than a tech roll, but... I'm not even joking. Like, if anything, I should have been a stamina roll. It's like, whatever. He's going to saw it off. But no. So then, like...
We made a pirate pistol.
So then there's also, like, weird occasional rules loopholes where... It's kind of a bullshit thing that's unrealistic. And here's an example, because this came up today via texting. And it was, like, let's say with the 249 or 240 with the saw or the 240.
Oh, yeah. We're not calling anybody out, though.
I'm just saying. It came up in text. No. Here's the thing. You asked a legitimate question.
I did.
And the question was, if I don't use ammo dice, how many rounds are fired off? Because it's optional according to the rules. Now, what we came up with... after a little back and forth, was that that's unrealistic. That was the gut reaction. It was like, it should always be one ammo die, but nowhere in the rules does it say that. Like, you can, but it takes so much effort and, like, concentration to try to shoot one shot.
Especially from a 249.
You should take a fucking negative on the attack, right?
Yeah, per the rules, it's any weapon can be fired with just rolling your skill dice, and then it's just one shot.
Right.
Right.
That would be another example of when I'd be like, you can do that and not take an ammo die, but I'm going to charge you a challenge coin for it. So, those kind of situations. Also.
So, basically, going forward, if I wanted to, the lowest I can go is one ammo die when I fire those weapons.
No, you can...
Unless I use a challenge coin.
Well, it's not using a challenge coin. You're going by the rules. I'm just going to take away a challenge coin. It's just getting taxed, that's all.
If you do rules as written, though, I'm taking your experience point coin.
Wait, I don't like the way you phrased it. I liked it better when I was like, I can use one to get what I want. When you were like, right. If you're an asshole, I'm going to take one. That doesn't sound as fun to me.
It's a little bit of both. Column A, column B.
Well, see, the way I heard it, Kyle, is if me and Chris do what we do, we get them taken away. If you do what you do, you can spend them to get what you want.
Gotcha.
And... I just never spend them.
Well, now, and here's the argument for it, because Jeremy brought up a good point about how it's not fair to punish players for doing something that's rules as written, right?
Right.
Here's my argument against that. Challenge coins are not rules as written. I made that shit up, so any rule that I apply to it is rules as written. So.
Kangaroo court.
So you can totally still just go rules as written. You just
Union
don't have any challenge points.
Union Stewart.
You just won't have any challenge coins.
I'm being oppressed.
It's optional. So that's the idea. So that everyone's in the know. That's the plan. Complaints? Concerns?
Emotional outbursts?
It affects me.
No. I aired all of mine already.
Anybody else?
No, we need Brian. We need Brian.
You can still see me.
He's comedic relief.
Anybody else? Comments, concerns? Chris, are you still there?
Nope, he quit too.
Chris?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. But yeah, so that's the basic idea. So in other words, if it's a thing that's like, it shouldn't work. Like, for example, if you wanted to use your NVGs through the binoculars, as another example that came up in the conversation when I was describing it to Jeremy, like, yep, sure, challenge coin.
I've done it.
You know? Now, the other part of that is I might vary the cost of the challenge coin based upon how ridiculous it is. You know what I mean? So, like, if it's really ridiculous, I might be like, that's three challenge coins, or it's two, or whatever. But if it's rules as written, it's only ever going to be one. So if it's a cheese dick rules as written, it's going to be one challenge coin. I like it.
You're a cheese dick.
That's fine.
Yeah, the that full auto thing for like the 240, for like the machine guns in general, the only way you're going to be like, yeah, you cannot fire one round is just from practical application.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would think one ammo die is possible.
No, you can do one ammo die.
Yeah,
one ammo die
is fine. Totally do. Yeah, but a heavy machine gun burst is going to be basically anywhere between 1 to 6 shots, just, and it's a chance
at a minimum, and that's like
yeah, yeah, yeah. You may get it to go pow once.
Jeremy, describe the scenario.
Yeah, I've done it once. And you have to be so fucking focused, especially with a 249, because the fire rate on it is like 740 rounds per minute or something. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So you have to really focus and just, but it, yeah.
Yeah.
249, you can, you could adjust the gas regulator on it if you really wanted to. But then you're just like turning it into a single shot at that point. Same right. thing with the 240. You can also adjust the gas regulator for that. The 50 cal, you probably have the best shot, best chance of doing like a single shot with that, because it's such a, it's a really slow fire rate for the 50 cal.
Not the sniper rifle, the Modus, you mean?
Yeah. The Modus, yeah. Them too is like chugga 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 chugga, like it's slow.
Yeah, or like a grenade, the grenade launcher, the fucking
The Mark 19. Yeah, it's slow as fuck.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter.
Supposedly those jam a lot
because they're garbage. Yeah. But as long as you get close, you're fine.
Yeah. Horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, horseshoes and Mark 19s. You're fine.
All right, so that's everything. I don't think there was anything else. There was that.
Oh, before we get started real quick, I would like to apologize to the rest of the group for the challenge coins.
Good job, Brian.
I asked one question again and screw things up. Sorry, everyone.
Last time we ended up with a better the banner logo, which is awesome, and I, you know, because I went all crazy. And then this, actually, I really like this because now I'm going to have fun with challenge coins, and I think it'll be more entertaining.
Well, I do like the fact that, like, as far as like the Kyle thing with the shotgun, it just gives you like a. If you spend some challenge coins, then sure, yeah, you can have the sawed off, so you can use the shotgun one-handed. What?
I mean, yeah.
Because it was completely off the rails.
It's the one-handed part that's like, that's ridiculous, but sure, fine, whatever. Challenge coin. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes you put some skin in the game instead of just asking the question, so.
Right. Like, it's like, Scrooge are you willing to, like, put in something extra for this, like, cheese dick bullshit?
Yeah, and in all honesty, I mean, how many times have I ever actually, like, backed down Psalms just
right,
letting her eat? I was just asking the question of, hey, what does happen if I go down to...
Right, but this would also include situations, because here's the thing. They revised the rule about ammo dice, so I'm letting you guys know this now. It's in the new PDF, so your books aren't going to be right, obviously, because they didn't update your book at your house. But anyway,
how dare them.
So the amount of ammo dice you're allowed to use is your rate of fire, but also the maximum number you're allowed to use is however many rounds you have left in your magazine minus one. So if you have a rate of fire of four but you only have four rounds left, you can only use three, because one of them is already from the first round. And the reason why is because, let's say you only have one round left, right? By the original rules as written, you could use one round and one ammo die. Now, if you get a success on that ammo die, you could transfer the hit to a new target. So you'd hit two targets with the same shot. And they were like, no, yeah, we're getting rid of that. So the amount of ammo used when using ammo dice is also one plus whatever you roll on the ammo dice. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So where we're going to open, though, is you guys had just left the roadblock that you had run into, and you were headed south along that road. And it took a little while to get through all that because of the initial roadblock to go across the river. You guys were there for a while. So when you guys first started heading out, it was like evening already. And now it's starting to head into dusk, like it's starting to get darker and it's cloudy. So you guys you know that just south of you, based off of your map, is Lobartov. And so the next hex down is a smaller town just north of Lublin called Lobartov. And it's kind of up to you what you want to do.
I'm getting tired. It's time for me to sleep. Someone can either take turns driving or I need some sleep.
Does anybody in this unit actually have any confidence in actually driving? I mean, I'm sure all of us have some driving ability, but
I was never much for driving a little around the farm. I could give it a shot, but I'm no expert.
I can take over driving for you, Mr. Stan.
It sounds good, Harrison. All right. Will you switch drivers? I sleep in camp. Yep.
And that'll be the other thing. Since you're heading into night, and it's cloudy, how are you planning on driving? Like, with the lights on or lights off? What's your plan?
Where do we make camp? Does not matter.
You guys can make it one more hex this shift, and then you're going to be... Then it's going to be actual night-night is where you're at. So, just to give you a metagamey situation.
Oh, we can still make one more shift or one more hex, and then we're gonna have to make camp and rest and shit like that. Or we can keep driving, either or.
We probably don't want to be a moving light bright.
I say we try and hit the Bardolph, and we'll try and set up camp somewhere outside of the city there.
All right, I will finish driving, and we will stop outside of city. Yes?
Sounds good to me. Everybody else in?
Sounds good to me. I wouldn't mind getting some shut-eye.
All right, this is what I'm going to need. I'm going to need a...
driving roll?
Driving roll from Stanislav and a recon roll from Harrison. Is he still the one doing recon?
One success for driving.
You gave yourself a bonus for the road, right?
I didn't.
Okay.
What's the bonus for the road?
It's like +3. Chris, for your recon roll for Harrison, you should take a -2 for the vehicle, a -1 because of your nose, and a -1 for the because it's dusk.
Dang.
Why does the nose?
Because it affected persuasion and recon. Crushed nose.
Okay, I was thinking that was Murph with the eye.
Both of them.
Both of them have a -1 to recon from those things.
The +3 for the road is just an extra B die. So one more success, two successes.
Okay.
Total for driving.
Well, then my recon's just going to be a straight D.
I mean, you have the binoculars, too.
Taking it minus
for the +2 still. I wasn't counting that. But you have that still if you want to use it. I was just telling you what your negatives are.
No successes on the recon.
Dang it, Dale.
Okay.
You want to push it? Oh, wait, no, it's passive. Never mind.
It is passive.
I forget every damn time.
All right. So you guys come driving up. How close are you going to get to Lublin? Like, once you're... Because you're going to be in that hex. So how far away from the... village do you want
to
be?
To Lubartov, Stanislav will drive until he's told to stop.
With it coming into dusk, I mean, do we see the city? I mean, we're probably not seeing any lights. Are we just seeing kind of outlines of buildings and whatnot?
Yeah, as you're coming up, like, you kind of come out of where you were, like, you come through a more wooded area, and then a couple clicks out, you can see the village. And it's a smaller village. But I mean, like, you can just kind of make out buildings and whatnot, like houses and shit like that. But I mean, you don't see any lights. You don't see any, like, you know, house lights on or anything like that. It's dark.
Right. No. As we get closer to the outskirts of the city, I'm sure you start seeing kind of more like an urban sprawl kind of thing. Is there like a area that we could kind of set up kind of in a suburban area almost?
Well, I mean, it's
try
also,
and hide our camp within some minor housing.
I mean, it's a medium-sized village. It's bigger than the one you guys just came from, but it's not a larger city, like a larger town like Lublin. You know what I mean? Like, it's a moderately sized village. So, but yeah, I mean, if you want to wait till you get to the outskirts of it, that's probably fine. So.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of where, you know, in a larger city, where we hit kind of the urban sprawl area where the houses... aren't quite neighborhoods.
We're looking for a burned out Chick-fil-A. Can we lay in there?
They're not open on Sunday.
I think it would be good if we can get a place that's got, if there's any hillier terrain around the village.
Nope.
Where, you know, maybe we can observe the village at all.
Chris, unless it's you all really
you're still all in the flat man. Terrain.
It's a yeah. fucking pancake.
Yeah. Still flat.
I'm looking at
no, that. No, not this one. Like Google Maps. It's a pancake, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? To make you feel better, Murph, you can stand on my shoulders to get your elevation.
Wait. Do we find a hill and Chris uses like 4 challenge coins?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Does he lose challenge coins every time he hits a tree?
Yeah. It wasn't for elevated shot. It was just for recon looking over so that we can observe the village before we just park for outside sure, it. Sure. I think we should stay, you know, not too far.
In the yard, not far from the car.
But yeah, no, the terrain itself is pretty freaking flat. So, yeah. There's not a lot of hills and mountains and shit. Not a lot of elevated anything. But there are, you're getting into that, some more houses. And it's the same thing. Like, I mean, a lot of these houses have been, you know, damaged from the war. You can see walls that have been taken out. You can see houses that have looked like they've been taken out by artillery. You can see holes, you know, from like tank rounds or, you know, like little bullet holes in walls. But I mean, it was a smaller village, so you can tell that like at some point the war was here. But right now it's really fucking quiet.
Let's just find a place where we can put the truck behind, you know, behind some kind of a building, and we can get a little bit of shelter.
Yeah, I was mainly looking for somewhere that would kind of help conceal a fire in the camp if we're setting up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's another rule we've overlooked a few times. Making camp. One, it is optional whether to make a fire with a camp or not. So you have to tell me when you're making camp, are you building a fire or not? Two, you can try to make a camp that's concealed. That's after the survival roll, there's a recon roll.
Hmm.
Oh, that's nice.
So.
No, it's not, because we always fail rolls anyway. How many ants have we had?
But it's an active, it's not a passive roll, it's an active one.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's pushable.
So you can push it.
Yeah. And then you have to like, we basically keep track of how many successes you got, because that would be what
the reciprocal
for the opposed if someone notices it. Yep.
Right.
Yep. So question number one. So you guys are going to try to find a place, some sort of like between buildings, in a garage somewhere, something like that, where you can hide the truck and kind of set up camp. Are you going to build a fire? And are you going to try to make this so that it's concealed? Those are my two questions.
I would say no on fire and yes on
it's concealed. Cold out.
Why? It's like May or June, isn't it?
You're right. Look up the average temperatures at night in Poland in May.
I'd say toughen up, Buttercup.
If you don't build a fire, you're each going to have to make individual stamina rolls. Because, rules as written, the only time you don't have to do that is in warm summer nights. It's not summer.
May's not summer?
Nope. No, it's not summer. When does summer start?
The average temperature in Poland in May for a typical day ranges from 65 degrees to 45.
Yeah, so toughen up, Buttercup. 45's fine.
Also, there's been lots of nukes, so the weather pattern's going to be slightly cooler. So I've been really lenient for the last 54-ish episodes. Do you want to build a fire or not?
As we pull in, Gordon wakes up because he was asleep for that whole trip. So he just wakes up and goes, where are we? What's his plan?
We're getting pretty close to the Bardolph, and we're going to try and set up camp. We don't want to travel at night with our lights on.
Ah.
We don't want to travel around at night with out lights on, so we're going to try and find a place to bed down.
Very good. I can either take the first watch or set up camp, whatever you would prefer.
You know anything about setting up camp?
I have set up a few, but I am no
expert, if you will.
Ref. If you roll the if one player rolls the survival to set up camp, can they also roll the recon for it?
Yes.
Or does that have to be two different people?
No, same person.
Okay. It can be, but doesn't have to be.
Right. Well, Gotcha. Okay. See, here's the thing. What it says with making camp. Hold on. Let me get to making camp. Hidden camp. If you want to make a camp hard to spot, roll recon right after you roll survival. The implication there is you.
Both.
So whoever is making camp rolls both the survival, then the recon.
Mm-hmm.
So Gotcha. Someone else could aid if they're aiding with that. That's fine. But the same person has to roll both rolls.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But we've got a bunch of people that need to sleep, I believe.
Stanislav is sleeping. There's no doubt about that. And his recon is garbage, so...
Well, I was just thinking, do we have enough people to even have an assister?
Emmett's got a C and a D for survival, but he's got nothing in a D for recon, so I'm not any good for both of those. I can do one and not the other.
If I remember correctly, Murph was also resting / sleeping in the truck in the bed, right?
Correct.
Well, which would give us one person to keep watch and one person to make camp.
Right.
So if I am going to make a concealed camp, I'm going to be a B and a D survival and a C and a B recon. So I think that's probably our best shot.
It's not bad.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I don't think we have anybody to assist, and I can't think of anything to bonus us.
Murph is a B and a D survival and a B recon.
Oh, slightly better.
You could aid him.
Again, if we aid, we don't have anybody to do watch.
Yeah.
Harrison can keep watch.
Harrison also has a negative to his recon because of his busted face.
Him and Murph both do.
Plus, it's now dark, so that's a negative two, and someone roll me a D6.
I'm gonna see if I got my mojo back.
I got the D6.
It was dusk. I said it was going to be dark if you kept going. You kept going, so now it's negative two, not negative one.
Two on the weather.
Okay, still cloudy.
For making camp?
For recon.
For any recon.
Not any recon, for recon to observe.
Right, but not for concealing the camp.
No, this is for whoever's keeping watch. That's what I was saying.
Okay, it falls right into what we wanted to do.
So does that mean the guy who's making camp also doesn't take the negative for his face being busted up for recon?
No, it's different.
All right, so Murph's given us a survival and a recon.
Right, and can't Harrison aid him on the making camp?
Harrison needs to sleep.
Yes, Harrison could aid, but if Harrison doesn't sleep, then Harrison needs to sleep. He can't aid and sleep.
I get that. There's just going to be two shifts between... It doesn't matter. That's fine. I'll just do the straight roll with Murph.
Which thing is Murph doing? Which thing is Gordon doing?
Gordon is keeping watch. Murph is setting up camp.
Okay.
And then concealing it.
Because he gets no negatives for setting up camp, but if he were keeping watch, he would be negative.
Okay. So the person that is keeping watch should take a negative two for dark and negative two for cloudy. Negative four.
Unless he is given the night vision goggles, but he doesn't know where they are. Did they die with coal?
That'll negate the dark.
Binoculars don't help in the dark?
No. Not unless you want to spend a challenge coin. Then you can use them with your night vision goggles. No, they won't help in the dark.
All right, I'll make camp. Gordo, you keep an eye out. Take first watch.
All right, so who's going first? Gordo.
Two successes. Dos successes.
God damn. Nice.
Not too shabby.
Was that with a negative four for...
No, negative two.
Oh, no, no. You have the night vision goggles. Sorry. Yeah. You're right. I apologize. Okay. Cool. Chris.
Murph got one success on the making camp.
Okay. And now for the recon roll.
One success.
Okay. One success. All right, so based upon that, I'm going to say you guys actually found a pretty tucked away little area within a house, and you actually find one that has like a fireplace in it, right? And so you're able to like draw some curtains and, you know, coincidentally, like, you're able to actually kind of like conceal the area where you are and put a fire in a fireplace, essentially.
We have found cherry wood with no smoke. We've got this all figured out.
Yeah. And yeah, so everyone who's sleeping, so the only two people that are up are Gordon and Murph, right?
Correct.
Okay. Stanislav, what are you doing before you go to bed? I'm assuming you could probably bullshit with people.
He's just kind of stretching his back for the most part. He's been driving all day. You know, between slaughtering the boar and doing the cooking and then driving for the last, you know, last 6 hours, he's kind of sore from the day, but he's doing pretty good and he's stretching out. He doesn't really have too much that he wants to talk about at the moment.
Emmett?
No, Emmett's, kind of a little weather-worn. I mean, riding up in the back of the truck, up on the gun, you know, just a little bit wind-beaten, almost like riding a motorcycle for too long. Just kind of exhausted from that.
So I guess, all right, so Gordon and Murph are up then. What do you guys, what does it look like?
This is Gordon's first time really playing with U.S. technology goggles, so he's having a lot of fun looking around corners and pretending to be all Secret Service-y. He's very aloof with it, but he's doing a good job, but he's just, you know, he's not the most serious of guys when he's doing things, so he's just kind of, there's a couple extra John Woo roles just for fun around corners as he's just keeping an eye out for things with the goggles on.
So after Murph made camp, then he used his sniper concealment skills to keep the fire from being visible. Maybe, you know, while he's setting up the camp, he's like telling Gordo how to use the everything, the night vision goggles and et cetera, et cetera.
This is impressive and amazing. I quite like it, but don't look at the campfire. It gives you a headache.
Yeah, don't do that.
So far, nothing to see out there, and the only thing I can hear is Emmett snores a bit. So, but other than that, it's all quiet.
And I would say, shoot first and ask questions later.
Shaky trigger, got it.
So we kind of zoom in on the crackling fireplace. Sparks flying up. And then we see it turns to the red on the eastern horizon as the sun's coming up. And your night was pretty uneventful. And it's starting to be morning. What do you guys want to do?
Good morning, gentlemen. Wake up, sleepyheads. It was a fun night and a very bright sun this morning. It's going to be a good day.
Someone roll me a d6 for weather.
Oh, no.
Kiss of death. I'm going to do this one. I got to get my mojo back.
Oh, so close.
So close, Cordy.
What'd you get?
5.
Oh, yeah, that's cloudy still.
Are we moving on or are we staying here longer? Father Roberts would be down the road. A little ways.
Yep, everybody's rested up. I say we try and put as much terrain between us and that town as we can, so let's keep moving.
Can we take a visual recon of the village before we just drive into it?
I mean, you can look down the road. You know, and see what you can see from the road. But, or you can get on top of the roof and look around if you want to.
Yeah, I just want to put eyes on the village through the sniper scope. See if I can pick out any fucking roadblocks or defenses or anything like that.
Are you going to go up on the roof then? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the only high ground here.
Yeah. It's a one-story building, so.
Yeah, it's enough to look into the town or village.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are in the outskirts of it where it started to be more urban sprawl, as Brian was saying. So there's the houses aren't terribly far apart. Like, they're suburban far apart, you know, but they're not, like, super-duper close. So I'd say maybe 20 meters or so between houses.
Do you want me to roll recon?
Yeah, you get a negative one for your eye still. And a negative one for dusk. So negative two.
One success.
Okay. Alright. I mean, so yeah, you're looking around the, like, what you can see, and you can kind of see, I mean, other houses and whatnot, and you're kind of trying to get a good view down the road, and I mean, you don't see any movement, you don't see any people, you don't see any vehicles. It just looks fucking empty. You can see that as you get closer into town, that there's a, you can see like where the center of town is, because you're not too terribly far away from it, and like looking down the road you can see it, and you can see that there's kind of a town square there, but there's nobody in it, but you can just see that it like opens up into that area. Let's say there's like a small fountain in the middle of it.
No roadblocks or fortified positions or anything like that.
Nope. Nope, nothing like that.
All right, guys, it looks like that's probably an abandoned village, but still keep our eyes peeled.
All right, let's load up and roll out. Let's see how much distance we can get covered here.
I got shotgun again.
All right, so who's doing what in the truck?
Stanislav will drive.
Me and Mr. Stan make a good team.
So does that mean you're navigating?
Yes.
And then who is going to be keeping watch?
I can keep on keeping on.
You're going to keep watch in the truck?
Yep.
Okay. So I imagine you guys give him the binoculars then?
But of course.
Okay.
I would say from now on, that is SOP for whoever's on watch.
Barring it being nighttime. And I'll also assume if you're driving the truck, SOP is to charge night vision goggles. So.
Amen.
That's me being nice. So I'm cool with that. All right, so Stanislav driving, shotgun is Harrison, Emmett is on the pintle, Murph is doing what? Gordy's, I'm assuming, looking over top the cab of the truck beside Emmett, looking out with the binoculars, and what is Harrison and Murphy doing?
Well, Harrison's going to be helping Mr. Stan. He's going to help navigate.
Oh, that's right. So what's Murphy doing then? Sorry.
I'm going to lay in the back here and rest since I didn't sleep last night. Gordo, kick me if you see anything that needs attention.
You should sleep, not just rest. You did not sleep all day yesterday. You'll need sleep at some point.
All right. Thanks, Grandpa.
So you guys start driving? Are you headed... Let me ask you what you're going to do. Are you going to drive towards the town square, or are you going to try to, like, what? What is your plan? Theater of mind the shit for me.
Stanislav is going to drive towards the town square, but will happily accept any directions from Harrison.
Harrison, roll survival.
I didn't get no successes.
Do you want to push that roll?
Sure. I still didn't get no success.
Okay.
At least you didn't take any stress.
All right. I mean, you'll be fine. There's a road around, so you should be good.
Are we still on the road?
Yeah. Yeah, you're still in a road hex, so that's what matters as far as that goes.
I can't see that map anymore. I forgot.
I'm moving you guys back.
One success on driving.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
I mean, thank you for telling the audience. I'm sorry, I diminished that.
Mr. Stan, I don't think there's any reason to go around this town. Just stay on the road and go right through the middle.
That sounds good. It's straightest path, you know? Path of is the most direct method, yeah.
So as you guys start getting closer to the town square, and like I said, it was only a couple kilometers up, so it's not real far driving in a truck. It starts opening up a little bit more, and you start seeing like that there's some crucifixes like built up in the center of town, like around the like fashioned more so. They look like they're made out of spare wood and beams and shit. They're not like ornate. They're just kind of like, you know, fashioned out of like random shit. And once you get within a few hundred meters, roll me a recon roll, actually, Gordon.
Plus two, or what was it again?
Minus two because you're in a vehicle, plus two for the binoculars, and minus one for dusk. So, minus one.
Ooh, I did not know. Well, but I'm in the back of a vehicle.
From a vehicle. If you were all battened up inside of one, you would automatically fail. So, there you go.
Oh, no.
Minus two.
Two successes. Gordon has got this. He's just perched in the back as we drive around, humming Fast Car by Tracy Chapman in his head, and just keeping an eye.
So as you start getting closer, you notice, Gordon, that in the middle of the road, you see a piece of trash sitting in the middle of the road. And like, right as you're going, like coming up on it, you can see a glint come out of it. And you're like, fuck. Like, you notice that you think there might be an IED in there.
Whoa, watch. Directly ahead, 12 o'clock. This bag is not normal. Stop.
And he kind of starts banging on the side of the truck and pointing.
This, no.
And then he you know, comes in and out of French on accident. Or in and out of Polish because he's trying to speak with Stanislav while he's doing it.
And where it is, it's like there's some gravel around it. Like, it looks like they were trying to hide it, you know? And, like, for some reason, maybe the gravel had, like, come off of the top of it. And that's kind of why you were able to see it.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Stop, Zan. Stop.
What is it? And Stanislav stops the truck.
Directly ahead, do you see that bag?
The one right there on the curb to the left there?
That appears to be a trap or something very suspicious.
So we drive around. We go another road, go past, no problem. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's more so like in the center of the road. You can drive around it, but it was like right where you would have driven through if you kept going straight. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can just...
Are we to just leave it to blow up or fracture the next guy?
You are good. This makes good point.
It may be nothing. It just looks very, very out of place.
All right. Here. Harrison. I grab the tools. You take the truck back further. Make sure he's safe. Yeah?
If it's an ID, you gonna try to disarm it?
He's nothing but electronics, yeah? His wires, his electricity, his switches and cables is no problem. Child's play.
He sounds like he knows what he's doing. I will go with him. This I have to see.
I do not think it would be a good idea. If it explodes, it will... If it is what you say it is, then it will take us all. Likely. You would be best if you stay back.
Whatever you say in the movie, cut the red wire.
Sometimes it's green.
It's at least a stretch, by the way, to actually clear this, if that's what you want to do.
Okay. Yep.
Good luck, Mr. Stan. I'll back up the truck. You just flash me a signal and tell me when it's okay to move back up.
Does Stanislav have a Kevlar helmet on?
Stanislav has a steel helmet.
Okay.
But helmet and explosive, very little consequence when in Sam Square.
I know, but if you didn't have one on, I was going to put one on you just for fun, but yeah.
No, he actually has a steel helmet from the chapel fight. Cool. He took off one of the old Russians.
You sure you don't want me to come up and help once I park the truck?
No, he's fine. You park truck back, and I will take care of this. Should be no problem.
Okay, Mr. Stan.
I will keep an eye on either side if this is like an ambush point as well. I don't know, my toes start tingling a little bit, and I'm just making sure that this isn't a choke point of some sort.
Right.
Some sort.
I mean, it is kind of up near an intersection, like right before an intersection. So
I just have my binoculars up and I'm just scanning and scanning.
Okay.
For the record, just to make sure everything's on the up and up, Stanislav is going to be carrying his pistol and the toolkit and a steel helmet. That's it.
Okay.
Everything else he's leaving in the truck because he doesn't need that shit to work on what he's doing. So.
Yep. I got you. So you guys park what, like maybe 50, 60 meters back? You guys tell me.
That sounds like it should be about right.
60 meters seems like should be good.
Okay. Stanislav, you start walking up. And as you're going along, you're walking by all these same kind of houses like I described before, where it's like, it's obviously, you know, shit has hit the fan around here, like most places. And there's some that are burned down, some that have holes in the walls, tops that are collapsed in these old houses. And like I said, the intersection where the IED is, it's like right after the IED. As you get closer, you can see it down to your right and left. And you kind of glance down between the houses. And you can see the same kind of crucifixes that you can see up ahead about another 100 meters or so that are in the town square. You can see some more that are like along the road, right, like in the grass area, and kind of some in the middle of the road, and you start noticing that there are people on these crucifixes. Like, you look down one way, to the left, to the right, you see about a dozen down to your left and about a dozen or so down to your right, and you just see people nailed up on these crucifixes.
Abandon hope, all ye who enter.